This is All Things Considered from NPR News. I'm Robert Siegel.
And I'm Linda Wertheimer. Today, one of the most significant bodies of music produced in the 20th century. Our NPR 100 choice this week, Warner Brothers cartoon scores, specifically the scores from cartoons of the 30s, 40s, and 50s. Warner Brothers music maestro was Carl Stalling, born in 1888 in Lexington, Missouri. His earliest connection to show business was playing the piano along with silent movies in his hometown. Stalling headed west, working several years for the Disney studios. By 1936, he was at Warner Brothers, where he scored more than 600 cartoons for such stars as Bugs Bunny, Porky Pig, Sylvester, and Tweety Bird. Greg Ford has compiled a two-disc collection called The Carl Stalling Project, an anthology of Stalling's three decades at Warner Brothers. Ford is a producer and animator and a collector of Stalling's work. Ford says although Stalling never drew anything for cartoons, he was an essential part of the animating process, choosing musical phrases from anywhere and everywhere, working as the animators did from a storyboard, creating the score on a piano as the artists were creating the cartoons.
Basically, the action was dictated by something called the exposure sheet, which was lined paper where every single frame, the action that hit in every single frame, was spelled out for the animators. Stalling would take the exposure sheet at this point and, with reference to the storyboard drawings, could actually anticipate the exact moment the anvil fell on the character's head, or Tweety escaped from Sylvester's grasp, or Bugs strolled out of the rabbit hole to calmly say, "What's up, Doc?" while Elmer Fudd is about to shoot him. The sneak. You know, it's a very fast sneak. The xylophones that you always hear when the character just as eye blinks. You think that somehow the sounds are being generated by the cartoon characters themselves, or the movements they're making, or their thought processes. It's hard to believe it's music.
Let's take a specific score. Let's take Barbary Coast Bunny. Perhaps you can just sort of help us along with identifying bits and pieces as you hear it.
Now, this is a scene where Bugs Bunny discovers gold. It's a very jubilant rendition of We're in the Money, which was the old Harry Warren Al Dubin song from Gold Diggers of 33. The same cue ends up being played in a sinister way or a dark way or an anticipatory way, depending on what's happening in the action.
But it's all still the same piece of music.
Right. In other words, this is a score that's sort of a basic Stalling score. It's nothing spectacular about it, but it's typical of what he did, particularly the idea of using individual cues to identify individual characters, sort of like Peter and the Wolf. Now here's My Darling Clementine, the old Stephen Foster thing. This is used to identify a place, San Francisco. There's a tune called Mysterious Moe's, which is used to identify the villain, Nasty Canasta. And here's Arkansas Traveler, used to identify Bugs Bunny, who's impersonating a sort of naive hayseed to enter Nasty Canasta's casino and win all his gold back.
Now that's obviously the laughing.
Yes.
What's the instrument?
Those are wah-wah trombones. The interesting thing is what the music is reflecting our realization that it's Bugs Bunny pretending to be naive and foolish.
Mm-hmm.
Now here's Mysterious Moe's again, this antique song from the teens or 20s that's written by someone named Walter Doyle. But this is Nasty Canasta talking. That's Bugs Bunny talking.
Well, now, Stallings used all kinds of music. He used pop tunes and show tunes and
classical
music, a sort of an early form of sampling, I guess.
It certainly is. The distinction I'd make with Stalling is that tonally, it may be like, say, We're in the Money, but We're in the Money can be dark, it can be happy, it can be sad. In other words, the individual cues are twisted, stretched, or squashed to fit the action.
When he was picking music, how did he pick it? I mean, was he looking for some sort of familiar reference, something that would make people smile, a kind of a music cue?
Absolutely. It's playing on mostly on people's unconscious associations. I don't think he ever wanted to have, like, arrows pointing at the music.
Did members of this giant orchestra that he had, did they consider that scoring cartoons, even though they were using all these fragments of very serious music, did they think this was serious work?
Well, they thought it was a lot of fun. On the other hand, it was very difficult to play at times because there's so many key changes, sometimes timing changes right in the middle of the cue. So it was very complex and hard to do. It was a great orchestra. I mean, the Warner's Orchestra was like beyond belief. But when you hear the unedited rehearsals and whatnot, we were lucky to find all these tapes of the original sessions.
All right, here we go. Action number 1171. Putty Back Trouble, part 6.
The voice you hear is Milt Franklin, who is a key figure in Stalling's arranger, and Stalling was observing. This is a Stalling, a short little Stalling cue for a Tweedy and Sylvester film called Putty Tat Trouble.
It sounds like a chase scene.
It is. Well, the whole cartoon is really a chase. In this case, one cat is ramming his arm down the throat of another cat to retrieve Tweety.
I was fascinated to hear that they don't play a phrase and stop, you know, so for that to be laid in, and then play another phrase and stop for that to be laid in. They just do the whole thing. They just go roaring right through it.
Yeah, it isn't quite straight through, but it's close. I mean, he would break down a 7-minute score to about 8 different parts.
And during that time, they would just turn on a dime. They would change tempo, change composition, change key, change instruments, and it would just come crashing.
Yeah, it's amazing what they're capable of doing.
I want to end with what I think must be one of the most familiar pieces of music that Carl Stalling contributed to our culture. I mean, we all know this tune. This is from the beginning of a Porky Pig cartoon, so let's just listen to this. Where does that come from, that theme that's embedded in my brain?
It's called The Merry-Go-Round Broke Down. It's by Charles Tobias and Dave Friend, and it was picked by Stalling as the opening theme for the Looney Tunes.
It seems odd that maybe the most famous thing about that Carl Stalling's ever did, he didn't write it.
No, but I don't think that's unusual, the way he created these pieces. 80% of the stuff is original music. To him, there was no distinction between lifts and his own stuff. I mean, he made everything work within the confines of the cartoon. Now listen to this, Linda.
Mm-hmm.
Well, this is great. This is Stallings' parody of his own work.
Whoops. Got stuck. A character in the cartoon makes his own cartoon, which is a lame version.
Right. And it gave Stalling the opportunity to parody what he always does in the Warner's cartoons anyway, which is stringing one cue to another. But the funny thing here is that, like, the degree to which everything is painstakingly played wrong, you know, in this beautiful way. Balances are off and, you know. It's like you're employing kazoos in the orchestra this time.
like a Stalling score imploding.
Right.
What happened to Carl Stalling after he left Warner Brothers in 1958? He lived for quite a long time after that.
When he retired, he just retired, you know. That was it. I mean, he was like a 9-to-5 guy almost. You know, his work was incredibly difficult, if you think about it, what he and Milt Franklin did, you know, composing one of these sometimes very complex pieces, you know, of 7 minutes long on the average of one a week. For all those years, you know, so I guess retirement is appropriate.
Greg Ford, thanks very much.
Oh, well, thank you so much. I'm so happy that you're considering Stalling.
Greg Ford, his two-disc anthology of Stalling's cartoon scores is called The Carl Stalling Project. Carl Stalling died in 1974. For the complete list of the NPR 100, go to our website, npr.org.